It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
Jay! Jay! Hey! My headset's
Text or call the show at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports 1140.
A lot of gym boys chatter on the both the YouTube chat, but also the text line at 916-339-1140. There is nothing more quintessentially Sacramento. Or very few things in gym boys. That's no farm to fork garbage either, by the way. That's good old-fashioned gym boys awesomeness. We have another giveaway. Everyone chill. We have another giveaway at 7:44.
7:45.
Oh, at the end of that segment. Okay. From the 916, Dave, you remember Las Margaritas back in the day. Best ever. Gym boys type taco. Reyes Teca is there now. Yeah, they're calling out Carmichael taco spots.
I'm a big fan of Reyes.
A big fan of what?
Reyes Teca.
Yeah, no, it used to be Sal's for a while.
Yeah, Sal's, there. Yeah.
By the way, Sal was an actual guy who was like friends with one of my buddies. He was
really
younger than you and I. It was really weird.
Wow.
And he was like,
Sal.
When it was Sal's, he was like mid-20s.
Wow.
I don't know if he got it from his parents or I don't know how that ever happened, but good for him. Let's see. Love Gym Boys. A long time ago, I lived off of Fruit Ridge in Franklin. Gym Boys. No wonder I'm heavy. Hey, listen.
It's a good taco.
I will say this. I've lived around Jim Boys's. I've never lived like walking distance, and if I did.
Yeah, it's a distinct, like you can smell a Jim Boys taco.
Oh my God,
in a good way.
Yes. Can we? All right. We got to move on. But this is what happens when we give away Jim Boys, dude.
Yeah. Want them.
I could annihilate a box of Jim Boys tacos right now. At 7:02 in the morning.
The next time we do the segment, like you leave, you're like, am I caller three?
Right, just win it.
Yeah.
I'll bring back Jim Boys. I wonder what the nearest Jim Boys is. Oh, Friday Fun and Games and Jim Boys. Might be an interesting rest of the day, but anyways. The Celtics have officially suspended Ime Udoka for the rest of the season. There's a lot of speculation going on. We talked about this, and the speculation on the women is stupid and needs to stop, and we're not going to do any part of that. I don't know who it is. I don't care who it is.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter who it is. And what you shouldn't be doing is assuming, oh, it must be this person. I mean, imagine being that person. You're like, I didn't do any of this.
Right.
Now my name's being thrown in. Imagine being that person's husband or his kid.
Well, some of that was even out there. Like, we've got confirmation for those wondering it was not this person.
Right.
Like, wait, we're confirming this kind of? Like, why are we even digging into that part?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. The team knows.
And
they've made their suspension and their decision, so that's what we should be going off of.
It sounds like this is something they've known for a while. Mm-hmm. It sounds like they've been working through this thing. I do not believe for a second they found out about Ime Udoka having relations with people in the day before yesterday. So it leaks, it gets out, this, that, whatever. Here's where the speculation is going to happen, and I get it. Ime Udoka did not get suspended. I find it highly unlikely, I'll say that Ime Udoka got suspended for a full season for having a consensual relationship with a fellow staffer. I mean, suspended, sure. I don't know, whatever. Suspended for a year. And the thing that really got me, and you and I talked about this, was the Celtics release where they said a decision on, and I'll read it, I'll quote it, a decision about his future with the Celtics beyond this season will be made at a later date. That certainly sounds like a breadcrumb that he's not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I take it. He's not coming back. And now it looks like whatever happened, they wanted to get it right out of the way with Media Day coming up. And oh, by the way, Celtics Media Day is going to be a blast.
Sure.
Imagine being what's-his-face, Mike whatever, the new coach there who's an assistant. It would have been Will Hardy. Hardy goes to the Jazz. Now it's this guy who is like third in line for the crown. And now he's going in, and hey, welcome in. You're now the head coach of the defending Eastern Conference champions.
Yeah, and one of the favorites this year with a great roster.
That's absolutely right. From the 209. Have they actually said the staff member was female, or are we just assuming? We're assuming.
Yeah, they have not said that.
Fair point. Yeah. Pretty sure the staff member was female.
We don't know.
We'll have egg on our face if it was, and I'm willing to ride that wave there. So, yeah, Jason, the idea here is this. It's more than that. Don't know what it is.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Woj or Shams or somebody will break it down. But I can all but guarantee whether it was more than one person, whether there's more to it than we've heard, whether it's a combination of all of that, Ime Udoka did stuff or some things that obviously I think were way beyond just consensual, whatever, one time, this, that, and enough for the Celtics to take a rookie coach who got his team to within a few quarters of a championship and say, yeah, you're gone for the year. And again, I would be beyond shocked. I would be fall on the ground, roll around like a soccer player who barely got touch shocked if Ime Udoka ever coached another game for the Celtics. So now, here's a question. And again, a question we can't answer. Is Ime Udoka done?
Right.
And that all depends, right, on what it was. If it was consensual stuff, whether it was one, two, or 10 people, I think he probably coaches again. But if there's anything non-consensual, if there's any sort of, you know, other seedy stuff, yeah, we may have seen the last of it.
Yeah, and it's a really, I think this is one clearly where all we've been able to do is do our best to speculate. We get the little breadcrumbs here of what the team is actually doing. We heard yesterday that the league may do something. This is the team handing it down. But obviously the team has this information.
Right.
So I don't know how much more we'll get out. I feel like it will over time. Usually these things do. And then I think we'll all have a better feel for all this. Because I think, you probably read a lot. Wow, consensual. Yeah, I know this is an HR thing.
Right.
But he's losing his job for the year? Well, he may be losing his job forever.
Yeah. He may be losing his, again, he could lose his career. We don't know. I mean, he may never coach. He may have coach overseas. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's so up in the air. And that's why, like, on the text line here, 916-339-1140. Can we assume the other person was suspended as well? No. Now, I understand where that person's coming from.
Yeah.
Well, if Udoka was suspended, why would the other? They're both employed. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know because I don't know what happened. I don't know how it was found out. And here is, again, you want to speculate? Let's speculate. If the position that the team is in, what if it started? And by the way, this could be from either side, not necessarily Ime Udoka. It could be from the other side too. Well, what if it started out consensual? And then one person said, I'm done.
Yeah, we got to stop this.
And the other person was like, no, and here's I'm going to keep texting you and sending you unwanted things and whatever.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was consensual.
Well, it was.
But not anymore.
It's not anymore. And maybe the person that if the person on the other side is the one that not anymore. Okay, so you suspend them, but what if they filed an HR complaint? Okay. Oh, my God. Like, there's so many things here. I think Boston's probably just saying, we're going to gather everything up. We're going to do an investigation. I mean, Kings fans will remember when shortly after Luke Walton was hired. In fact, like 5 minutes after Luke Walton was hired. And there was this big old months-long investigation that they did and gathered things and this and that. Well, I got to imagine the Celtics are going to do that times 10 with this because they also realize that the eyes and ears of everybody are going to be on this thing. It will be very curious what they come down with. We'll see it. We'll know it. And then that will dictate the Udoka thing. That being said, and I want to be clear here, that this is on the list of things we should care about.
Right.
This is number 870. But I am, and this won't solve it, Jason, but I've long wondered, as I'm sure many have, just what kind of an effect, how much of an effect do coaches have on teams, right? How much of an effect do coaches actually have on teams? You know, is it the chicken before the egg? Like, of course it's the talent, but how much can a coach make improvements in the margins?
I think a lot.
I tend to agree with you. But we saw Nick Nurse win a championship a couple of years ago in his first season after taking over for the coach of the year and Coach Chaney. So, wait, who's the coach? Coach of the Year. Why am I not?
No, it was Coach.
It wasn't Chaney. It was because I was
Casey.
Dwayne Casey. I always screw that up too. Anyways, well, now that Adoka's not going to be here for this year, well, the roster's still returning, still the same team, and assuming they don't really deal with the injury bug at all, are they expected to do the same? If you're Vegas, are you moving the win total down? Are you keeping it the same? Are you moving it up? And ultimately, what's it going to be? How much of a difference will a coach actually make? We've seen situations like that. We've also seen situations where Luke Walton went 31-4.
Right.
Taking over for Steve Kerr, but then on his own couldn't do anything.
Well, and I think even that situation in Boston, you know, you went from Brad Stevens, who was pretty highly regarded. Ime Udoka had a lot of respect going into the job, sure. But I mean, he still was a first-time head coach.
Yeah.
And the way they began, I mean, there was rumors about his job just based on his coaching. Yeah. Then by the end, he was pretty highly revered because he turned that team around, made a finals trip, nearly won the whole thing.
I bring that back to the Kings always because we saw what happened. Luke Walton was 31-4 and didn't do much with the Kings. Well, now we have a situation where Mike Brown, look at his record without LeBron James. It's terrible. So now the question is, you bring Mike Brown in here, is this going to be a Luke Walton redux? He looks real, real good with the Warriors. He looks real, real good with LeBron James. But that's not the Sacramento Kings. So we'll have some of those questions answered this year, I would imagine. Now, here's a question. How about three? Do the Jazz have anything left? We grab our week three locks and upsets. A big semi-local birthday. Yeah, three questions, three answers, three for madness next.
You want Kings talk?
I'm a diehard Kings fan.
There's nowhere else you need to go but here.
Kings games, Kings interviews, Kings breaking news, Kings coverage. Nobody has it all but us. Sactown Sports, your local sports leader. Three questions, three answers. It's three for madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. Question one.
We've got some exciting news for all of you.
Yeah?
Yeah, dude. In 14 minutes, Dave Richards is going to join us from CBS Sports.
We love it.
Lock in everyone's fantasy football team. So have your questions ready on the text line or to call in as well. In the meantime, it's three for madness.
Three for madness.
Wow, we have a jingle now and everything.
Yes.
Question one.
The Utah Jazz. Heard of them? Remember them?
Yeah.
Used to be a good team. They've stripped down their roster. Go ahead and pick away at it and find one player currently on the Jazz you would want on the Kings for this season.
One player on the Jazz that I would currently want on the Kings.
I think you could probably make that trade. They're trading everything. Everything's got to go.
Walker Kessler. That's what I'd take. He had almost 5 blocks a game last year in college. He's young. He's a rookie. He's the most unknown commodity. Conley's too old. Sexton plays the wrong position. Markkanen, we have, you know, Jordan Clark. I'm taking Kessler.
I would look at Malik Beasley. Yeah. I would look at Clarkson, but kind of to your point, they are strong at the guards. So I'm going Jared Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Not a bad pick.
6'8", 6'9", I think.
Yeah.
Defensive oriented, rebounder.
Yep.
They need a little more help, I would say, in that 3-4 position. So that's probably the one guy. I don't know that he'd cost a ton. And he's probably still, I don't even know how old he is, 24, 25, 26, somewhere in there.
He's a youngin'.
Maybe even younger. But
yeah.
That's probably the guy I'd look at.
23. Will not be 24 till April.
Even better. Get him twice.
Vanderbilt would be a fantastic pickup. Yeah, we're both on the same page there.
Yeah.
We don't need any more offense.
Nope, young and big.
Or two.
Question two.
Pick an NFL Week 3 lock and an upset.
Wow, let's do all the things Jay wants to do.
Yeah, you're demanding.
Yeah.
Hey, you still in the Eliminator, the Survivor?
I am.
It's better be your lock then.
Well.
Or are you not going to do that on purpose?
Nah, you know what? Screw it. If you're going to go down in flames. Just like Jesse James. That's a Cher song. I'll take the Chargers as my lock of the week. Chargers favored by a touchdown over the surprising Jacksonville Jaguars. My upset of the week?
Are the Jags surprising because they have a win after two games?
Yes, that
and
is surprising.
And only a loss.
That's true.
That is very, very surprising. When it comes to upsets, give me the Detroit Lions
in Minnesota
over the Vikings. Lions. Roar. That's my lock it up song.
You are so hard knock influenced.
I am.
That's your team.
That is true.
Dave's Lions.
I am a Lions stan.
Lion Michael Dave.
This is a lion hive right here.
Yes.
Stan?
We all know.
Yes.
No, hive. Hive. Got it right first time.
100%.
Okay.
Big time Lions guy.
I am not picking my eliminator as my lock of the week, which I probably should.
Oh, you're still in.
I am still in.
How is the wife still in?
Anyway.
So, yes, clearly.
He's in trouble.
No, she did it last week. Again, without looking.
Yeah.
Not even the who's playing. She goes, yeah, I'm going to take the Browns. And I go, oh. And I look, and go, wow, they're playing the Jets. And she was doing great. And I think she might have invented some words at the end of that game.
Bet. Yes. I would imagine so.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll take the Chiefs. Chiefs as my lock at the Colts. Chiefs look good. Colts do not for some reason. I think they were going to be better, but I'm going to take the Chiefs. Okay. And in the mildest of mild upsets, I think they're only underdog by about 2.5. I think the Texans will go into Chicago and beat the Bears.
I looked at that.
Going to be a great game this weekend, Texans and Bears, by the way.
Some are saying game of the week.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Game of the year.
Oh,
some.
My gosh. Justin
I think
Fields
they want to flex it to the Sunday night.
Davis Love the Third.
That's his name, yes.
It's going to be amazing.
Davis Love the Third Mills.
Question three.
Today is self-proclaimed Kings fan and local guy, made good Hasan Minhaj's birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.
More on that in celebrity birthdays. Oh. But if the Kings were to become a playoff team, and even an NBA Finals team, dare a dream, who would you expect and allow to be front row Kings fans that are famous for those games?
Yeah, are we going to have famous people that show up and they're like, you haven't been here before.
Kind of.
You can't be here.
Or we'll just welcome them. I don't know.
Yeah, but like if someone like
Drake, all those Kings
fans. Yeah, like Jay-Z was at the Warrior games and Beyonce, we're going to be like, they haven't liked the Kings ever. Or we're going to be like, wow, Jay-Z and Beyonce are here.
Do you ever see the video you remember the song No Rain by Blind Melon where he was a bumblebee and then he ended up with all the other bumblebees?
Uh-huh.
This would be that version of that for Vivek. If we made the finals and all the celebrities descended on the...
my God.
And he, like the entire front row on either side of him, would be cleared out. So, and then there would... I can only imagine the meetings and the ranking systems internally for all the celebrities.
Well, remember when we used to bring in, or there were a few random celebrities.
Yes.
So, like when Kelsey Grammer
Kelsey Grammer's
years
most
ago.
Random.
And then you go, wait, he's like in row four now.
Wait,
I was with you when you were winning 24 games.
Right, exactly. So you'd have, would you get a return of the rando celebrity? So you'd have a Kelsey Grammer, a Drake.
Brett Favre.
50 Cent.
Jamie Foxx.
Probably not Brett Favre. Jamie Foxx. So those have to go
Chuck
somewhere.
Chuck Liddell.
Right, Chuck Liddell. And then the Sacramento, and by the way, and they would get precedence over the Sacramento celebrities.
Of course they would.
100, absolutely.
Molly Ringwald doesn't get her choice.
You're in the fourth row.
Dusty Baker's up in the second level.
Yeah,
are you kidding
Dusty
me?
Baker's sitting next to G-Man. That's what's happening.
And Uriah,
exactly.
Wow.
If Kelsey Grammer, are you kidding me?
Greta Gerwig is up there in the second level.
You think Vivek's going for the local celebrity over the national celebrity? There is no chance.
Has he even heard of Reading Rainbow?
Probably not.
LeVar Burton's up at the top.
LeVar Burton.
But is he wearing the glasses?
Yeah, like those Star Trek glasses. The Jordy LaForge glasses.
Yeah.
LeVar Burton is actually in Doco. He's in the quad. He's by He's by the Jeffrey Koons piece.
Signing autographs.
So you'd have Hasan Minhaj, Molly Ringwald. Molly Ringwald would not show up.
Oh.
Really?
Jacoby Shaddix.
John Daly.
No.
Carmichael's own.
Carmichael's own. Like, really, it's tough to think about. Like, we
Bill
don't
Cartwright?
Have, no. Like, Dusty Baker, for sure.
Again,
yeah, but he's usually a little bit further back anyway.
But is
Brie Larson?
I don't think she cares.
Wow.
I don't think Brie Larson really claims Sacramento.
No?
Kind of, but like... I know Greta Gerwig does, but also, again, not sitting front row. Just telling you. No one's panning the camera and going, oh, God, that's Greta Gerwig. It's not happening.
Do I have this wrong? Is Jessica Chastain from here?
I think she was.
Have I heard that before?
She did go to school, yeah.
Summer Sanders.
I mean, Faber's definitely there, but again, he's going to be fifth row.
Wow.
No, he won't. He'll be front row, but he'll be sitting with Phil.
Okay, Penny Marshall's dead.
Yeah,
so
Penny
that's
Marshall's
not
dead,
happening.
Everybody. It's not happening.
Brenda Song.
Man.
You don't know who Brenda Song is, do you?
Yeah, I do. I'm just seriously.
Okay, what is she saying?
I'm just seriously. She doesn't see. That's a trick question. I'm just thinking of the internal meetings.
Yes. That's good. Like the ranking, power rankings, where to put people.
Brenda Song should be first row just because she has
Macaulay. Disney Channel.
She has Macaulay Culkin's child.
Right.
Okay, if Macaulay Culkin shows up with Brenda Song, are they first row?
Yes. National. Yes. Yes. National. National celebrities will always get the better treatment.
They're going to be higher level than that.
You think?
NBA final. If they're in the NBA finals.
Yeah.
Yes. And we're still in California.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What do you mean by higher level? Like they're going to be.
What list would you put Macaulay Culkin on? I know there's A. He's not A-list. List. What list, Jay?
He's his own list.
I think.
You know what he's going to be? He's going to be left home alone.
What? I mean.
I know. It's just you see it coming. It's like, bam, he hits you right in the face.
I would say here's exactly how the internal meeting would go. It's whoever's sitting close to Vivek in inverse order of Instagram followers.
Okay, hold on, because we got to go.
That's exactly how it will work. Whoever has the most Instagram followers.
Hey, it's Greg Vaughn, not Mo Vaughn. This guy's going to get blocked soon. Okay, Jason.
Yeah?
Macaulay Culkin's courtside. Herder hits a three. What does Macaulay Culkin do?
Kevin!
You walked him right into that.
I know. We got to go.
Can we please take a break?
Yeah.
Oh, Aaron Judge.
You what?
Aaron Judge.
Greater Sacramento.
Linden's Aaron Judge is going to roll
Josh
in.
Josh Allen, fireball.
When Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge would better
Tom
be
Brady,
up by
Aaron
us.
Rodgers.
Aaron Judge would be on the lap. Are you kidding me?
That's me.
Oh, my God. A picture of Aaron Judge and Vivek together would be amazing. It would be like the Jose Altuve one. But Aaron Judge and any of us would be the same, though. If you think about it. Aaron Judge is a large man. Probably use a truck. That's my guess. Not enough, Jason. We talk about the big deals going on at Hoblet. Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, and Woodland. Hey, why go all the way to Hoblet for one of those trucks? Maybe a couple? Because, first off, it's not all the way. They're, like, right over there. They're 5 minutes away from the airport. That's not far away at all, but it's worth it. I don't even care if they were far away. There's a reason for it. Because they're the number one HD Ram truck dealer in all of California. Let the customers tell the story. Go to, what's the one? Yelp, Google, the places where they rate people online. Look at them. Come see for yourself why Hoblet Dodge is your small town dealer. Row your way up there with big city selections and savings. Hey, go get treated like family. Like family. Instead of some lame-o with Hoblet's true pricing. No dealer markups, add-ons, or hidden fees. Stop by Hoblet Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, and Woodland to see their full selection with their true prices at HobletDodge.com. Best prices, best selection, period. The degree of difficulty on that with Jason's dance moves is off the charts.
Joan London.
Tom Hanks.
I love both. Okay, Tom Hanks claims Cleveland for
he
his sports teams.
Boo.
Joan
he went
London.
To Sac State.
I know. I'm just telling
Stingers
you.
Stingers up.
Stingers up. We got your fantasy football teams ready. Dave Richard of CBS Sports joins us. No.
Your home for the most comprehensive 49ers coverage.
Debo, Bosa, to our very own Armstead.
The 49ers Authority, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Your local sports leader.
Fantasy Friday, fool!
It's time for fantasy football.
Are you kidding me?
It's time for fantasy football.
He's our fantasy football cheat code.
It's time to set your lineups with CBS Sports Dave Richard.
Yes, that's fantastic. Fantasy Friday, fool. All right. Well, not everybody is undefeated in fantasy football like me.
Oh, wow.
Not everybody is in first place with the most points in the league in both his main leagues like me. Mm. And not everybody just jinxed themselves.
Yeah.
Like me.
The crash will be swift.
I'm telling you right now. Both of my legacy leagues, I'm 2-0. Mm-hmm. Both of my legacy leagues, I'm in first place with the most points. And I'm alive in the knockout league. I'm just waiting. I'm 100% waiting.
You think you're saying that sentiment next week? 3-0, 3-0, and still alive.
No way. Okay. Dude, I had I have George Kittle as one of my tight ends.
Yeah.
I forgot to replace him.
And you still won.
Well, no, I'm talking about coming into this week. I forgot and left David Njoku in my lineup.
Because he had his one game that he has
exactly.
a year.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the type of year it's been so far. Mm. I am joining us right now, the man, the myth, the legend, who I'm sure is undefeated in all his leagues as well, from CBS Sports, the one and only Dave Richard. Good morning, Dave.
You know, normally I would like to take a little bit of credit for you being undefeated in your leagues because I know that I help you out, and it's great. But when you accidentally forget to replace somebody in your lineup, then I don't know. I think the golden horseshoe up your you-know-what is really taking effect, man. That Jell-O mold has solidified, and now you're in a position to dominate your fantasy leagues and the knockout pool. Dave, it's time to go buy property in Los Angeles,
a
Powerball ticket, all the things that you need to have right now because you are living under the right ray of sunshine.
Mm. It is so far, and I will tell you, we all have our babies. And not like, by the way, it's not like I picked this guy out of everyone. This guy was on every single list pretty much of guys to watch for, but Amon-Ra St. Brown, both leagues. I know anyone who has that guy on their team is smiling ear to ear. But let me ask you this. Where are you putting – is this one of those guys we talk about every year where it's like, okay, his value is super high, sell him now, or are you high on him all season?
I think you've got to be high on him at this point. And I think the reason to be high on him, Dave, is because the Lions are high on him. You look at how last year ended, and this was my argument against Amon-Ra a month and a half ago. It was, well, who else was missing for Detroit? There was no downfield threat. TJ Hockenson was out. DeAndre Swift was back, but he really wasn't effective. Jared Goff had no choice but to go to Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I thought, well, with all the changes that the Lions had made, there's no way that St. Brown is going to see a 30% target share.
Yeah.
And I was right. He's not seeing a 30% target share. He's seeing like a 35% target share. Right. The Lions are completely building their pass offense around him. He's the perfect short and mid-range target for Jared Goff to lean on. And think back to what Cooper Kupp was once upon a time when Goff was in L.A.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp was that short area target. Robert Woods was too. And Goff had some good numbers then. But the real secret to the Lions is their offensive line. It's playing great right now, both in the run game and protecting Goff. And St. Brown's benefiting. I don't think you do anything with St. Brown except keep starting him in your lineup until that target share dwindles down. But I don't think that's going to happen, Dave. I think he's going to be good.
Dave, kind of on that point, I don't know when is enough of a sample size to start thinking trading on your lineup. I know waiver wire is always important, but like, when would you go, I've seen enough, I am going to sell high on this player? Like, when do you even start to think about trading?
I think you start thinking about it when a player that you drafted past the halfway point in your league plays beyond expectations. An example is James Robinson, who for the first 2 weeks of the season has been unbelievable, way better than we thought he'd be. And he's putting up numbers, but if you watch him play, week one, I thought he looked pretty good. Week two, you could have folded your laundry in the amount of time it took him to get the snap and score his touchdown last week against Indianapolis. And now he's running into the Chargers. And I think a lot of the defenses, you see South, maybe not Tennessee, but certainly Houston and Indy and Jacksonville. He's not playing Jacksonville, obviously, but they're starting to get a little bit better. And I wonder if now's the time to try and sell high on James Robinson. He's got the Chargers this week. Say he scores again this week. This might be the time to try and flip him straight up for Derrick Henry, if Derrick Henry has just an okay game. Because I can't help but think that Derrick Henry will figure out a way to turn this around. I'd want to say that Najee Harris is in the same boat, but Najee's schedule coming up is really bad. He's someone I would sell high on. Leonard Fournette, if Fournette doesn't have a good game this week, go get him. Try and turn James Robinson into Leonard Fournette, a player that you took in round 9, into a running back that went in round 2, and a running back who should get a lot better when that offense in Tampa Bay steps up and starts to have all their components back and looks like the offense from 2021.
Dave Richard, CBS Sports, joining us. I feel like we have these questions every single year, but once again, a lot of questions about Zeke Elliott, Dak Prescott going down, Cooper Rush coming in. They play the Giants this weekend. Where are you at with this guy? Is he done being an everyday RB2? Is he a flexy type of dude now? Where are you at with him?
I think you've got to go week to week with Zeke, and I'm not trying to be cute and rhyming here, but that's just the way that it is. Thank you. Look, the first 2 weeks of the season, the schedule wasn't great for him, and his numbers weren't necessarily awesome, but his efficiency was good. His efficiency was actually better than Tony Pollard's. Zeke was averaging 4.2 yards per carry. Pollard was at 3.4. Zeke was better on yards before and after contact on a per rush basis than Pollard. And this week they've got the Giants. Giants have allowed 5 yards per carry to running backs this year, 3.9 yards after contact per attempt. They've missed 11 tackles. These are all bottom 10, and they don't have their best defensive lineman in Leonard Williams. He's not expected to go. So this is a week where I like Ezekiel Elliott, and I think he can finish as a top 15, maybe even a top 12 running back. And then when it happens, sell high on him. Turn him into Leonard Fournette. Turn him into Derrick Henry, perhaps. Because I don't see Zeke being a great week-to-week fantasy guy, whether it's Cooper Rush or Dak Prescott, whether the offensive line is healthy or struggling. I can't see it with him. He hasn't been explosive in 2 years, but I think he might be able to put together a good game against the Giants.
Dave, as far as the Niners, we talked about Trey Lance last week. Awful news with him. Now it's Jimmy Garoppolo. There are leagues that we've talked about before that have two quarterbacks. If you're in that or you want quarterback depth, where do you put Jimmy G in your fantasy list?
He's worthy. In a two-quarterback league or a super flex league, he's definitely in that mix. I remember drafting him. I was before final cutdowns. I figured that the 49ers would move him. And so I took him in leagues as a bench spot guy because I thought he'd start somewhere else. And now here he is starting in San Francisco. You want to talk about the best case scenario. Look, it stinks for Trey Lance and it stinks for the 49ers future, but it's good for Garoppolo right now. And I think it's the right quarterback for this offense right now. So I'm on board with starting Jimmy Garoppolo as a number two quarterback. I would like the matchup better this week if Pat Surtain wasn't healthy and wasn't playing. But he's going to be a difference maker in that secondary for Denver. And that's a pretty good defense. So I think Garoppolo isn't worth starting in a one quarterback league. He's going to be a bye week replacement. But I do think he will bring out the best in terms of numbers for George Kittle, for Brandon Ayuk, for Deebo Samuel. And Deebo was going to do well running the ball anyway. But I think those three players, their value is on the upswing because Garoppolo's there and because the 49ers, they might be in position now, guys, to throw the ball more than they have in the past because the game has so many question marks for the next month and a half.
You mentioned at the end of your Ezekiel Elliott answer, Derrick Henry, and maybe going out and getting him. And here's another guy that has a lot of people stumped. First 2 weeks, he just hasn't looked Derrick Henry-esque. 3.1 yards per carry. A.J. Brown and the lack of the stretchability of that pass game seemed to hurt him a little bit. But are you bullish on him the rest of the year?
Mostly. And the reason why there's two reasons why I'm nervous about it. It's a little bit about him and a little bit about the rest of his team. I thought that Henry wasn't quite as bursty as we had seen him before. And I don't know if that's the foot injury or if it's just him being 28 years old or him not trusting what he sees because his offensive line, and this is the other issue, the offensive line and the offense in general in Tennessee has a problem. If they can't pop open lanes for Derrick Henry and if they can't scare off defenses with the pass, then you're going to see Derrick Henry see a ton of eight in the box. Yeah. And if that burst isn't quite there, then yes, it makes me nervous. But I like the schedule for him moving forward. He's got the Raiders this week. I think he can score on the Raiders and get some good yards against them. The Colts run defense has been pretty good. He's got them two of his next four games, but he's also got the Commanders, the Texans, Kansas City, maybe the Broncos. That could end up being a decent matchup for him at home. That gets him through the midpoint of the season. So I'm not ready to sell low on Derrick Henry, which is what you'd be doing if you traded him right now. I want to wait until he builds up a couple of big games, and I think he's going to have the opportunity to in the next 3 to 7 weeks. And at that point, if I don't see it from the Titans offense, really if I don't see the Titans offense developing their pass game, then it's time to say goodbye to Derrick Henry before he takes on the Packers, the Bengals, the Eagles. He's got the Chargers later on this season. These are going to be tougher matchups for him, and if that offensive line isn't fixed, he's going to have some very inefficient games.
How much are you believing in what Tua has done so far?
I believe it, mainly because the offense is dysfunctional when it comes to running. I know schematically they can do it, but when you've got Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds as your running backs, and they're efficient, but they're not being given huge opportunities, I think everything kind of leads back to Tua, which is what I was saying before the season. This offense is going to revolve around Tua and how well he can throw the football, not just 50 yards downfield, but also 8 yards downfield, 12 yards downfield. And he's passed the test so far this season. I don't mind starting Tua this week because I think he's going to end up throwing the ball 35 times, even against Buffalo. And by the way, that Buffalo secondary, they're missing a bunch of starters. So I think there's going to be opportunities for double moves to take place for Waddle and Tyreek Hill. And Tua should be able to hit them on a lot of catch and run plays. He is a top 10 quarterback for me this week.
Dave Richards, CBS Sports. All right. Where can we hear you, see you, read you? Where are you getting everybody prepped up for Sunday?
We are getting everybody prepped 90 minutes on CBS Sports HQ. Fantasy Football Today is the name of the show. It's also on Paramount Plus. So if you've got a Paramount Plus account, you can watch there for the same price as Paramount Plus. It's just included in the package. Very generous of Paramount Plus to do that. And we're previewing every game that's on the Sunday slate. We've kind of started doing this new thing on Fridays. It used to be very DFS heavy, but now it's DFS light. It's player prop light, and it's very heavy going game by game, picking out the biggest starter sit, going through the injury reports, and we do it really quickly. So you can't really afford to miss it. It starts at 9 a.m. on CBSSportsHQ.com or on the free CBS Sports app or on Paramount Plus. So really, there's no excuse. We're everywhere at this point.
I have Paramount Plus. I'll be tuning in. Got an extra screen for you and everything. See you Sunday. Dave, as always, thank you for helping everybody out. Fridays, we'll talk to you in a week.
Gentlemen, you've got it. Good luck in your leagues. Although, Dave, you don't need it.
Oh, stop it. He's doing the thing. All right. We'll let you know next week, pal. Thank you.
I already know. Yeah. Sorry about being 2-1, 2-1, and out of the knockout pool.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Showing him right now. He's number one. Take care, Davey. Bye-bye.
See ya.
That's Dave Richard. CBS Sports. Check him out in all the places he said to check him out. Hey, Jimmy Garoppolo is, of course, starting this weekend. But boy, does he have some financial incentives. How much, by the way? Yeah, we'll tell you how much richer he's going to be each week next.
Breaking news, the latest happenings with your favorite teams.
You ever wonder about what the heck all these kids are doing on computers all the time?
Stay up to date with all of it by following us on Instagram and Twitter.
Excuse me, gentlemen, a little update for you.
At Sactown 1140. Stimulating conversation about kitchen gadgets and baseball cards.
I think that's really crazy interesting.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports 1140.
Well, speaking of, it's the rejoiner, so fine. Greg Papa coming up at 8 o'clock. I am considering a new gadget.
It's been a while, so yeah, you're due.
It has been a while. Yeah,
it's been a couple weeks.
So this is kind of an older school thing. It actually clamps to the side of your counter, and it is a hand crank.
Pasta?
I don't know. Maybe it could be used for that, but it's a grinder for meat.
Oh.
I'm thinking about grinding my own hamburgers.
Benefit is what?
I can control the grind itself, and I also know.
It's all about the grind.
It's all about the grind. No trouble. And I also know what meat's going in there. And I can, you know, just grind that. I could grind chicken. I could grind turkey. I could do ground pork.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, listen, ground meat, more tender than not ground meat.
Yes. Back to you.
Do I need a grinder? No. Do I?
Will you use it more than 5 times?
Like lifetime? Yes.
10?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't. Because I got really, you know, the air fryer still stings. I got so excited for the air fryer.
A lot of people kind of really vouch for the air fryer. You're not. I'm surprised you're not. No?
No. I.
You don't like it, or you just.
The amount of the. Well, should I just. No, just gonna.
What?
I'm gonna. Hey, guys. Hey. Hi. That's all in the air. Is that in my ear? You couldn't hear it?
It's only in your ear.
So basically what happened right there is the entire audience thought I was having a stroke.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on?
Okay. Which means I got to, switch this over to live? Okay. I'm actually happier with that outcome. Let's be honest. Because I honestly thought that that was the... Sorry, for everybody listening, I'm not having a stroke. They were doing some things in there recording.
Gotcha.
And it was in my ear, but nobody else's.
I gotcha.
Because there's a special switch.
Yeah.
Anyways, so far I have completely This segment's gone all over the place. We've talked about grinders.
Yeah. Like Jimmy G.
Thank
He's
you.
A grinder.
Jimmy Garoppolo has ground his way up the top of the depth chart through due to some bad news.
Terrible
news with Trey Lance. But his agent is a pretty smart guy. His agent's a real smart guy because what his agent did is said, okay, first off, no trade clause.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Secondly, no tag clause. So he can't be franchise tag. Not that he probably would. Thirdly, okay, fine. He's the backup. We'll re-sign with you, but we're going to give you all kinds of incentives.
Okay.
Now,
especially when you're thinking, like, these probably won't even be targeted at all.
Of course not. He's going to, kidding me? Well, his restructured deal gets him $6.5 million base.
Yeah.
But now every single game, he has a list of incentives. Every week, he's on the active roster. He earns $29,000.
Which, there was some concern whether he'd be on the active roster to start the year, but obviously he is, and now that's going to change a lot.
So that's $500,000 for the year.
Yeah.
But I also think that's more of a stay healthy and we'll pay you money incentive.
Yeah.
Every game that he takes 25% or more of the snaps.
Which is now at one.
Yeah. He earns $250,000. It's this simple. If he doesn't get hurt, he's going to take well more than 25%
of the snaps. Last 16.
Yep. That's so
$4 million.
That's $4 million.
Good for Jimmy.
He gets $100,000 for every win that he plays 25% of the snaps. So if they win 11 games, I would imagine, because it's not the first one. They win 11 games, that's another $1 million. That's another $5.5 million, which would make it a total. Here's what's funny, though. Good for his agent. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But.
It's less than he had, right?
It's less
like
than half.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Let's say he got that $1 million bonus for the 11 wins, right? Let's say he does that. And let's say he maxes out everything. So what do we say? $4 million, $4.5 million, $5.5 million plus $6.5 million, $12 million. Yeah. $12 million to start all but one game for an 11 win team, not even counting the playoffs, is a bargain. That is a bar, unless it's on a rookie contract, which never happens. That's a bargain. So I think in a weird way, both sides kind of won. Although I do wonder if Jimmy Garoppolo's agent could say, guys, come on, he's not going to play. Give us $10 million.
Right. Just inflate these bonuses because it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. And now it's this fast. And it's just a total redirect of what they're doing. I know we're going to talk to Greg Papa here in a few minutes, but I don't know that the playbook's like drastically different, like completely torn apart.
Right.
But there were some plays specifically for Trey Lance that aren't going to be for Jimmy G.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They got to redo a lot of this stuff. So one thing I want to throw in, where are we at? 7:51. There's literally no other place for me to throw this in, but I wanted to get this in there in the last couple minutes. We'll just switch gears for a quick second off of basketball. Did you hear Ben Simmons yesterday?
I did.
Okay, so Ben Simmons had a conversation. We've heard nothing from him, basically, since all this stuff went down. And he talked about a couple of things. With everything coming up, media days, all this and that, and the Ime Udoka things kind of drowned this out today. He talked about, for example, getting kicked out of practice.
You know, getting kicked out of that practice that day, I actually spoke to Doc before practice. I was like, Doc, I'm not ready. And mentally, I'm not ready. Please just understand that. You know, I tried to let him know prior. And he's like, well, I'm going to put you in anyway. I'm like, all right. Told me to get in. I was like, I looked at him. Like, it was like 1 minute into practice. Like, man, get in. I'm like, first of all, no one's doing that. You're doing this on purpose. And that's how I felt. So I was like, okay, so it seems like everyone's just trying to me now. Like I'm getting fined for like not lifting weights, but physically I'm like one of the strongest guys on the team. So I'm like, now they're finding me for little things. And it was just a buildup of, obviously I didn't handle things the right way. But also the team didn't either.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He goes on, talks about how he was in a dark place.
I'm already dealing with a lot mentally just in life, as a lot of people do. But it got to a point where after that series, I'm getting it's like from the people that you're supposed to have the support from, or that, you know, that comfort from. And I wasn't getting that either. So it was just a lot. It was a toll on me. And then mentally, it killed me. I was like no energy for anything. Like, I was in a dark place. I think that first thing of acknowledging it is like a huge step for me. And I was like, okay, like, I need to address this. I need help in these areas. And being able to do that, that was the start of, you know, getting to where I'm at now. I'm like in a great place and I feel comfortable talking about it now. But those are some dark days for me.
He also talked about the play where he didn't dunk the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was spinning on the baseline and he thought XYZ was going to be there. I mean, he broke it all down. He said, Dude, it looks terrible on tape. He goes, honestly, I thought I was going to be doubled. I got ready to pass it off. I didn't realize I was alone under there. It all happened super quick. I want to present a scenario to you as we go to break. And I want you to tell me how implausible it is. Ben Simmons did not play well in that series. He heard Doc Rivers say, I don't know, you know, basically Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid both throw him under the bus to the media. He feels hurt. In the offseason, he's getting death threats. He's getting people chanting names at him when he goes out in public. He descends into this dark, depressive state. Doc tries to put him in practice after he told him he's not ready. He's being honest about all that. Next thing you know, it's now this furor. Everybody's calling him a coward, the P word. God knows, you know, worse stuff than that. He gets traded. Now all this goes with him. People get mad at him because he was supposed to go into a game. He wasn't. Now it turns out he actually has to have back surgery. That part we at least knew. He wasn't faking the injury. He had back surgery. What if Ben Simmons just sucked in the playoffs, but that was it, and has been completely maligned by everyone and still is actually a really good player and ultimately didn't really do that much wrong other than not play well?
It's plausible, right? I mean, we don't know until he starts playing if he just gets right back into that same role that he's been. But, yeah, I think he did play poorly, and I think Philly's a tough place to play poorly. And if you have any kind of – I'm not saying you have to be super tough mentally, but if you have any fragile nature there and some other things going on, I could swing fast and go the other way.
I don't know why I have a soft spot for Ben Simmons, but I do. I don't know how much of that is true and not, but as far as what I said. It's going to be a very interesting storyline throughout this year. All right, we'll break. When we come back, Greg Papa, voice of the 49ers. He joins us every Friday. We can hear from him about this weekend's game against the Broncos next.
Live and past broadcasts of the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross and Cattles and Rami.
Interviews, podcasts, and more.
They all live on the Sactown Sports 1140 app. Download the app now in the App Store and Google Play.